Blog Talk Radio.
In Maguanago, Wisconsin, Bad Guy with a Phone Productions proudly presents another episode of the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast. It's time to enter the doghouse. I'm your host, the commissioner of the Mad Dog Dynasty League, and aforementioned Fat Guy with a Phone himself, Rick Goreski. We are getting the band back together to talk about the 2016 Mad Dog offseason. We're going team by team and division by division. We are reviewing the 2016 offseason. We barked the blues, took a bite of the white, and our next trick, we're going to roll over to the reds. So I'm talking about the red division, of course. Before we can do that, it's time to add the we to me. So let's do it. First up, he once got kicked out of auditions for American Idol for actually having his pants on the ground. Please welcome the owner of the Malicious Minds, Tom Buckles. Good to have you with us, Tom.
Pants on the ground, pants on the ground.
I knew you were going to sing it.
Trade.
Pants on the ground. Next up, Brett Favre's innocent, people, because our next guest has privately confessed to being the man with the watch in the scandalous pictures sent to Jen Steerger. I've referred to him as the tone setter, the owner of the Stone Form Pallies, Steve Wellman. Thanks for joining us, Steve.
Yeah, it was really kind of tough getting that in there with that wide lens.
Our other guest has not called in at this time. When he gets here, I will gladly bring him in. But right now, let's bring in the guy that I was saving for last, because we have a special treat for the audience. Calling from his underwater lair, he has a black belt. Possibly a brown belt, too. I'm not sure, but both are genuine leather, not that fake stuff. I'm sure of it. Please welcome the owner of Show Me Your TDs, Scott Phillips. Scott?
Hi.
Hey, man.
How you guys doing?
I'm so glad you could make it.
Sure.
As Ricky said to Lucy, you got some explaining to do, man. I went through this show and looked at your team, and I can't wait to get your feedback on your team, the TDs. We're waiting for Brian Koch, the owner of the Marauding Minotaurs, to join us, so at some point we'll bring him in. In the meantime, let me kick this off. Gentlemen, we're entering the home stretch in this marathon 15-part 2016 off-season series. Four teams left to go. They're all out of the red division. What a wild ride it's been, and what a ride it's going to be, as tonight we focus on Scott Phillips' Show Me Your TDs franchise. Before we dive in, though, let me paint the overall picture of where the red division stands in the overall scope of the league. Every time we shift a division, I like to just give everybody a little bit of background on what we're dealing with. So,
Red division?
What's that?
So yeah, can I leave the red division?
Can you leave it if you find somebody that'll trade with you and you happen to be on the line with the expert trader?
No,
of the league.
You just made me all depressed reading your all the stats here for second in the red.
Well, don't blow the show, man. So here's the deal. The red division has been the regular season top dog in Mad Dog for several years now, and I say regular season because the damn white division keeps winning all the damn titles in the playoffs. The Minotaurs win in 2012 was the Red Division's only title. But back on track here, statistically, over time, the Red Division has proven to be the toughest division in Mad Dog. Looking at just last year alone, the teams in the Red Division not only led the league in combined wins, but also each of the four teams averaged over 200 points or more a game. Outside of the Red Division, only two teams managed to score 200 or more points a game. Likewise, four teams in Mad Dog had 200 or more points a game scored against them. Three of those four came from the Red Division. Only one came outside the division. So with such strong teams, you'd think that the division might be due for a letdown. Let's find out how the Red Division teams fared, starting with Scott Phillips' own Show Me Your TDs. So to set things off, I'm going to go ahead and read off some background on your team, Scott, and then we'll jump into some great discussion. I like to start by sharing what your team, in this case, Show Me Your TDs, ranked in 2015 from the standpoint of starter points by position within the division. Just glancing to see if Brian joined us, and he did not. At quarterback, the league average was 394 points. Show Me Your TDs finished third at quarterback in the red with 420 points. Now, to put this in perspective, that's fourth best in the league, but only good enough for second in the red. At Oflex, league average was 929 points in 2015. TDs finished second in the red with 969 points. That's third best in the league. Again, only second in the red. Tight end league average, 197 points. Show Me Your TDs finished first in the red division with 239 total points at tight end. Delaney Walker is who he was riding most of the year. In what's becoming a pattern here, TD's third best in the league at tight end. At this point, I'm kind of asking myself, how the hell did this team finish 7-7 and miss the playoffs? At place kicker, TD's scored 126 points, which was just a hair under the league average of 128. That put Scott third in the division. Defensive line saw TDs finish a very distant last place in the red with a league low 202 points on the season. The next closest team in the red was 363 points. The next closest in the league was Stoneform Pallies with 254. League average was 340. So 202 points, that obviously was the weakest point of his team and an area for improvement exiting 2015. Last but not least, the defensive flex position, where the league average was 1,330, Show finished with an impressive 1,464 points, which, if you can believe it, was only good for second in the red division. Second most D-flex points in the league, and it's only good for second best in the red. So there you have it. That's where the TDs ended 2015. TD's roster today stands at 33 players. He has $16.71 in cap space available. I'm going to go ahead and recap the signings. Scott signed Allen Robinson of Jacksonville to a three-year deal at $8.55 a year. Signed Charles Clay, tight end Buffalo, to a two-year deal, $1.59 a year. Very good bargain. Sign and trade on Eric Ebron, tight end from Detroit, 3 years, $1.59, traded that to the Minotaurs. Lindell Joseph of Minnesota, 1 year deal at 55 cents a year. Anthony Barr, Minnesota linebacker, 3 years, $2.69 a year. Bynes, a linebacker from Detroit, 2 years, $1.86 a year. C.J. Mosley, the steal of the draft a couple years back. His rookie contract was up. Scott signed him to a 3 year deal at $5.60 a year. Breland, I just can't remember the guy's first name. Help me out, guys.
Brashawn
Breland, Washington. Three-year deal, $2.75 a year. Try it with a B. Defensive back, Nolan Carroll, Philadelphia, 2 years, 55 cents on that deal. Scott did also make a transition tag signing. He signed Delaney Walker to a two-year deal at tight end, $4.49 a year. And then Scott slapped three right-of-first refusal tags on players, starting with Brock Osweiler and Marcel Darius and Sean Lee. Sean Lee was actually one of the original players from that franchise. that Scott took over from Scott from Sean Van Hammer. Rest in peace, the Ender's Geesh. So this is the second time that Sean Lee has been put on a right of first refusal tag. So I hope it turns out better for you this time, Scott, than it did for Sean back when he did it. But
yeah.
The cuts that occurred, if I could read those quickly, Chris Johnson from Arizona, the running back, Jonathan Stewart, running back, Carolina, James Jones, wide receiver, I think San Diego picked him up, Seth Roberts from Oakland, wide receiver, Steve Smith of Baltimore, all those were cuts. Mike Nugent, place kicker, Cincinnati, was a cut. Williams, a defensive lineman from Baltimore, was cut. Zach Brown, Tennessee linebacker, cut. Derek Morgan, defensive lineman slash linebacker, Tennessee, he was cut. The rest of them are DBs that were cut and not douchebags, defensive backs. Brock from San Francisco, Gilmore from Buffalo, Ryan from New England, and Tlaib. All of those guys were cut by Scott's team. Let's go to the next item in here, which is to recap the draft. The draft saw Scott's team keep all five of his picks, the fifth pick overall in each round, took running back Kenneth Dixon first. Second round took Derrick Henry, running back from Tennessee. Third round picked up Leonte Carew, wide receiver, Miami. Fourth round, Sheldon Rankins, the defensive tackle from New Orleans, and then finished the draft off with Tyler Higbee, tight end from the Rams. Last thing to talk about for moves is to recap trades. So, Show Me Your TDs made two trades during the year, both with the Marauding Minotaurs, who is not with us yet. Got to toggle over every now and then and check. The two trades I was referring to. Just have to click on them. Eric Ebron was the first trade. TDs gave up Eric Ebron, a tight end he picked, I think, a couple years ago in the draft first round. Traded that for Mark Barron, who is now classified as a linebacker. Traded with the Marauding Minotaurs. Got Mark Barron and got a 2017 fifth-round pick for Eric Ebron. And then recently there was a trade, Randall Cobb, Show Me Your TDs, giving up Randall Cobb and Kendall Wright, both wide receivers, in exchange for Michael Floyd, again with the Marauding Minotaurs, I should say, picking up Michael Floyd from the Minotaurs of Arizona and Chandler Jones, the former defensive lineman, now classified linebacker from Arizona. So, got to grab a breath here. That's everything for Show Me Your TDs. We're going to get comments from the panel. Before we do that, Scott, I couldn't believe some of the numbers as I did the research on your team. You finished above average in every area except place kicker and defensive line. In many areas, you were top three in the league. How the hell did you not make the playoffs?
Dream team.
You're blaming it all on one team.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah,
did you realize that your team ranked as high as it did before we ran the numbers?
No, not that high, no.
Fourth best quarterback, third best at offensive flex. You were third best at tight end in the league. D-flex?
That was surprising.
I mean, the only thing you really stunk at was defensive line.
Yeah.
Well, Scott, why don't you just go ahead and warp right into talk about anything you want to talk about and then tell us what your goals and philosophy was heading into the season. I mean, obviously, you'd have liked to have seen more wins this coming year, but your rankings were high. How do you set out to improve on this?
Well, it's going to be tough. I signed the guys I needed to sign as far as my good linebackers with Mosley and Barr. Hopefully Barr comes back a little better this year. And my wide receivers pretty much carried me last year with, obviously, Russell Wilson. I'm hoping Wilson has the same kind of year. Winston, I think I played a couple times. He obviously had a good year. Other than that, I'm really, obviously, like you said, my defensive line just blows. And I really, through the draft, couldn't get much of anything for to help me out there. So that's why, really, again, I'm going to count on my linebackers and my receivers and quarterback to carry me again.
You're in just a tough spot, man. How do you improve over that when you're like top three, top five in the league and everything?
You can come knock on my door. I got Sheldon Richardson waiting for a trade.
Well, I think what you try to do is improve at luck, I guess. Right now we're
pretty
starting
much.
Off. Let's kick it over to Steve. Steve, what do you think of TD's offseason?
Well, I thought he did a good job with his cuts and his re-signings. Two things concern me. The fact that he's got all defensive tackles on the worst position, if he needed to improve anything, he needed to get some higher scoring ends. I mean, it's no top secret classified file that says defensive ends tend to score better than defensive tackles. And then the thing that really got me is, with no disrespect, but I thought he might have had one of the worst drafts. I don't understand some of the picks that he took, especially taking all those big question mark guys on the offensive side of the ball when he could have really addressed that defensive lineman position with some of the guys that were available out there. Like you said, it's hard to improve when you do that good, but I just think that he kind of missed the mark when he was trying to focus on what he needed to improve as opposed to what he really didn't need to.
Tom, do you want to chime in?
Yeah, I'll just reiterate the same thing with Steve. I like how he trimmed the fat on the team, signed the key players that need to keep. There's some solid guys, linebacking core, that are key pieces for that team going forward. Made a nice move with Brian to get the I think he came out better on that trade with Brian for the Michael Floyd and who else was there? Chandler Jones on that deal. I think he came out a better deal on that one. Same with the first trade with them.
The Mark Barron trade was fantastic. I thought, wow, that's really going for it, you know?
Yeah, that was a nice steal. And, I mean, he did take a little blow this just the other night. Rankin is out now for the year. So the one and only defensive guy he did draft for that line is out. So he's back down to two guys again. But I would have liked to have seen him pick something else instead of Dixon at pick five. Henry's a great pickup where he got him. Carew could be something, you know. I see bright things for him down the road there. But too much in the backfield in Baltimore, but Henry could be a nice pickup. I would have liked to see him pick up, like, another offensive player in, like, Sterling Shepard or whatever at five if he was still there and pick him up. And just keep adding to that offense because he can trade off one of those guys whenever he needs to and possibly pick whatever he wants at defense line off another team.
Gentlemen, I just got a hold of Brian. He's not going to be able to join us tonight. He was up at the Packer game, and he's fighting traffic. So no Marauding Minotaurs on today's show, but that's okay. More time for Scott to talk. Scott, did I miss when I was calling Brian? Did you talk about, we might as well warp in, and it's one of the questions I think people wondered, is your draft philosophy and taking the running backs early like you did. Did you address this when I was talking to Brian?
No.
Would you mind sharing?
Sure. Kenneth Dixon I was high on, so that's why I picked him at five. I was looking at, obviously, Treadwell was going to go high. I didn't know where he was going to fall. And then as far as just defense in general, I was looking at a couple linebackers because really defensive line was not a strength at all in the draft.
Whoa, what? What?
Really?
Kept secret in the draft, I think. Well, no, I'm teasing.
Have you looked at,
we've been giving Brian shit because he took Bosa third overall, and then followed it up with Buckner in the second, and then when we did Andy's show, Andy took Spence. He traded up and got Tampa Bay's lineman in the second, and Brian was like, hey, I really like that pick. So we've been teasing him. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, after Boza, I was looking at Buckner, actually, but of course he was taken before me. And then also, what was the other one? There was one other guy I was looking at. Also, I mean,
were you at any point in time looking at possibly jockeying up to move up to try and get a Buckner earlier than Brian or anything like that?
Well, I mean, Buckner was only taken like two spots ahead of me. I should have, you know, looked more into what everybody was looking for ahead of me. Obviously, Brian needed some help on the defensive line, so I should have maybe looked at that a little harder. I liked Raglan, and obviously he's also hurt.
You just made Steve's day. You just made Steve's day by saying that.
Yeah.
You did not take him too early, Steve. Hey, guys, just for the sake of time, go ahead, Scott. Finish your thought, and then for the sake of time, let's move into your quarterbacks.
All right. And then Deion Jones, who went, like, right before me, so that sucked. Other than that...
You're welcome. I traded that.
Did you really?
Yeah, I think I traded that to Tim.
No,
he moved up to get him.
That was Steve and Tim's trade, I think.
Well, I know I had the fourth pick at one point. I think I had every pick in the second round at one point. Well, okay, hit those quarterbacks, Scott. You got two really great quarterbacks, Winston and Russell, and you have Osweiler, who you put a right of first refusal on. You don't have to talk a lot about this. It's unchanged for the most part. You have anything you want to say about the quarterback spot and your views regarding the offseason? I mean, did you just feel good and second year under Winston's belt?
Yeah, I mean...
Or first year under his belt.
First year. Yeah, I'm hoping he can have an even better year this year. He's got some good targets, so...
Steve or Tom, any improvements that you want to point out at the quarterback spot? The fact that maybe Wilson will get a little more time throwing the ball with Lynch retired? Anything?
Yeah, I think he's stuck there. If he can give Osweiler back the right of first refusal, that'll definitely make his depth there a little deeper. Or he can maybe dip into the free agent market. There's a couple of quarterbacks out there that he can put in there, maybe get cheap. Solidify that spot. So I like his quarterbacks.
Pronounced Osweiler in Denver.
Yeah, I like his quarterbacks too. And I only see good things and better things in the future for Winston, especially with the new change in coaching and more geared towards offense. I think he's going to improve on his attempts by at least 100 this year.
Agreed. I think Winston might be the next Andrew Luck. I think that highly of that guy. So hold him tight, Scott. Old Flex, Scott, tell us what your thoughts were on Old Flex and what you set out to do. You surprised some by going running back in the first two rounds of the draft. You explained your draft philosophy, but how did that fit into your offensive flex, you know, your offseason thoughts about Old Flex?
My two running backs that I took last year, obviously that didn't go over well. Abdullah in Detroit just never, I thought he would do a lot better. And then Tevin Coleman is stuck behind, Freeman. So really I was like, Forte, I'm only going to have him probably for another year. So I need to, add another running back. And, so that's what I was thinking about that.
Steve? Offensive flex.
Well, I think offensive flex, I think he was pretty good. I mean, Matt Forte is a proven, at least for this year, is a proven scorer, so that's good. A.J. Green is obviously really good. Allen Robinson's going to be decent. He traded in for Michael Floyd. So, you know, and I think Abdullah and Coleman are going to certainly do better than they did last year. So that's why the Kenneth Dixon pick so early kind of perplexed me, when he could have got a Shepherd or what's the other guy, the Coleman kid,
Corey Coleman.
Yeah, Corey Coleman. He could have. I mean, it's not to say that maybe Kenneth Dixon doesn't emerge out of this, but I mean, if you're looking to improve on a team that's already there, just can't quite get the extra 5 points a game to, you know, tag up more wins. I just didn't see the going for two rookie running backs that are one very deep and one probably isn't going to do very well this year with behind Murray. I just didn't get that. And then Leonte Carew, you know.
Hey, thanks for taking Doxson there too before me.
he's a commodity, but there were still lots of guys after that. I mean, you know, if you're high on a guy, you're high on a guy. It's just I don't understand it, but.
Tom, you want to hit offensive flex real quick?
As I said before, I like this pickup of Derrick Henry in the second round. It seems like the perfect spot for getting him. I love the moves he's got with his wide receiver core is pretty deep. Alshon Jeffrey comes back from injury. That's just going to make another weapon there. So he could go four wide out if he wants to go or sprinkle in a running back here and there. But I think he's pretty solid at the offensive flex. You know, time will tell on those two guys that are in Detroit and Atlanta. You know, maybe this year Freeman goes down and Coleman gets in there like the whole offensive coordinating the whole staff in Atlanta wants Coleman would be their guy. That was their draft. So
I would not give up on Abdullah at all, man. Is that you trying to get
I may never pick up another Detroit offensive player again, actually. Between Abdullah and Ebron.
He's going to have
a shot.
Got
rid of Ebron.
I'm going to ask you about that at next, Ebron, so let's not ruin that one. But, Abdullah, it's not over yet. For my 2 cents worth on your offensive flex, you still have quite possibly the strongest wide receiver crew in the league. Your team has always had strong wide receivers. So, you know, even before you took over it was just stud wide receivers, and it still has it. So you're fine at offensive flex. You can go five deep, you know, or more, and most people maybe can't hit three or four. So let's head over to the tight end spot. At tight end, you trade 2014 pick Eric Ebron, as you just mentioned, kicking him off your team, and you proceed to pick up Tyler Higbee in the fifth round. You were pretty high in tight end points. What was your thought process here? Because, again, that was a first-round pick just 2 years ago.
Pretty much, I mean, Higbee was, a fifth rounder, so it wasn't a whole lot of, what was he, pick five or something, or the fifth? So it was pretty much
fifth round.
Yeah, looking at best available at that point. I'm not, obviously Walker had an awesome year. Charles Clay, I'm still not 100% sold on. Who knows what's going to go on with Buffalo's offense, but I wouldn't say it was a huge pick or anything. So, especially since he's on the Rams, Rams offense being, who knows what they're going to do this year.
So, Ebron, you just didn't believe in then? That's what it came down to, is you were just.
I had him for, it wasn't just like a one-year thing. I mean, I've had him for a couple of years, and it just, wasn't doing much for me.
Steve, would you like to kick off some comments about Show's tight end position?
I actually really like what he did. I think that Lenny Walker still has some tread on the tires, so he's a set it and forget it. Charles Clay can be a guy that can fill in, and at least he turned Ebron into Barron. You know, it's not like he didn't get anything for it, and I think that was a really smart move. And then, like you said, there's no risk to taking Higbee in the fifth round. If he turns out, he turns out. If he doesn't, it was a fifth-round pick. So I really did like what he did with the tight end.
Tom, tight end position?
Yeah. I just still go back to the trade he pulled off on Marauding Minotaurs and getting a fifth-round pick for next year along with Barron for Ebron, who basically a lot of owners have given up on already. So I give him kudos to that move, and he's got Delanie Walker, like he said, there still with some tread on the tire. So good guy still to have on that team.
I'm going to point at Charles Clay. Love that signing. Love the signing of Charles Clay. Delanie Walker you've got for a couple years, and then you're going to be in a tag situation again. So maybe that's a guy that's not on your team 3 to 5 years from now. Maybe he'll be trade bait at some point. But Charles Clay, the best is still ahead of him, I think, in his career. So love that move. And
yeah,
the
he's a good deal right now.
Yeah, love the Higbee thing, too. You know, picking him up in the fifth round, like you said, what do you got to lose that late? Let's keep it moving, guys. We got about 14 minutes left here. Skipping over the place kicker position. Scott, at defensive line, you were by far the worst in the league. Your team trended heavily towards defensive tackles, and you doubled down on that strategy by drafting Sheldon Rankins of the Saints, who is now out with an injury now. Can you tell everybody what your thinking was at defensive line and why defensive tackle is attractive to you?
It's not, actually.
And it's okay to say I didn't mean to.
Yeah, I really, really want to totally get rid of all of them and go defensive end, but it's really, other than trading, it's really hard. It's really hard to do through the draft. And as far as free agents go, it's really, really, really thin. So I actually haven't looked for the free agent draft if there's anything all that great. But it's something I'll be looking into for sure.
Steve, throw some comments out about defensive line.
Yeah, this is the position that's going to bite him in the ass again.
Hey, Steve, I got to throw this out there. I was going to actually kick this off to Brian to kick off the defensive line, our D-line expert, but he's not here with us today, so
well,
I have to throw that joke out there.
Self-proclaimed defensive line expert. But no, I mean, and there's guys out there, I don't think I'm going to give away any secrets here, but you know, instead of picking up Rankins, you could have picked up Chris Jones in Kansas City. He's going to start out right away. Adolphus Washington in Buffalo, he's the defensive end that's going to start right away. In improving defenses where their defensive ends get points. So, you know, if you tear that down, nobody's going to blame it for you. You're not going to lose anything. And there's more talent out there than you think. And you have collateral to maybe pick up a trade for a good defensive end. And, you know, Tom's always in for trades.
I just want
to
point out too
that.
Some
stuff too.
I just want to point out too that one of the defensive tackles I actually dropped, Steve picked up. So, and now Steve has three defensive tackles.
Tom, what do you think of the defensive line position for? Show me your TDs.
It's the only spot on the squad that needs some work, other than, you know, hopefully hitting on some of them running backs in the next couple of years. But definitely a part of the free agent draft and also the waiver wire claims during the season. Keep your eyes on that market real quick because you can pick up a guy here and there, pick up and get you some points with no problem.
Yeah. Obviously, Scott's got his work cut out at defensive line, still improving, still some of the offseason left to happen here. So maybe we'll see trades, free agent pickups, or combinations of both. Defensive flex is next. Let me find my spot. D-flex, Scott, tell us what was your strategy for defensive flex because you were pretty damn successful last year. It's not like you were subpar or anything.
Yeah, I pretty much, you know, like I said earlier, I just sign the guys that I needed to sign that were the workhorses for me last year. and then I made the trade for Barron.
Mark Barron.
Yep. Other than that, I really like Breland. I picked him up last year, and I'm hoping he has another good year. Trey Waynes, picked him up as a rookie last year. Hopefully he has more of a chance to play this year. And Rashad Johnson moving from Arizona to Tennessee. Hopefully that works out. I used him a bunch last year, too.
Sure helps when you have Kuechly and Mosley on your team. If I could ask a question that
yes.
some people are thinking, Chandler Jones switched to linebacker. Usually the switched from defensive line to linebacker tends to hurt a player's value. You went out and traded for him. What is it about Chandler Jones that you see that
because
made you go get him?
Because he's still a huge talent. I think he's, I mean, he's, as far as even though he's going to be a linebacker, I still think he's going to be awesome.
That's the right answer,
he,
dude.
Yep.
That's always the right answer. I believe in his talent. If that's the case, then
yep.
swing. Swing for the fences. Steve, can
right.
I get you to comment so we don't lose time here? Comment on the defensive flex situation.
Yeah, I like what he did there. The only thing that I would say differently is that maybe he should have changed some of those picks I didn't like into maybe injecting a little bit of youth into the defensive flex, but I think he's certainly nailed it down. Bringing in Barron is a good good move. Barr, he should improve. And I also agree with him. I think Rashard Johnson is going to definitely improve his numbers this year. So he's got a good solid six or seven, even eight guys that he can plug in there. So, I just wish I would have seen him bring in some youth.
Tom, what do you think?
Solid D-flex, four solid linebackers, and you can sprinkle in whatever you want afterwards next year. I know it's going to be an offensive-geared draft, but maybe when everybody's going offense, there should be some studs that are sitting in there that are getting passed over, and he could pluck them away. Safeties and linebackers, D-linemen, he should be able to pull what he wants probably next year. Since everybody's going to go offensive crazy to run next year.
Well, I love the fact that he locked up C.J. Mosley for 3 years this offseason and Barr from Minnesota. I think those are huge moves for this year and the future. And aside from that, I mean, we talked about this in other episodes. It gets to a point, this is a bit of a curve. When you're really, really, really good, it's hard to improve. And you know, there aren't drastic changes here, but, you know, it's in some cases it's flat. The defense in this case, you made some signings we can point to, but D-flex is kind of the D-flex you had last year except for adding Mark Barron. And, of course, Chandler Jones, too. So there's you can view that as improvement. But my point being that your team was so good that we're not pointing to, like, oh, hey, he went up here in this position drastically. But let's move over to the lineup. We got about 5 minutes left. Scott, what's your lineup right now?
Starting lineup, yeah, well, Wilson, obviously, starting week one. And then also, as far as flex, I'll probably go 4T Green. Robinson, and then either Jeffrey or Floyd, depending on matchup. And then Walker, probably Linville Joseph, and
somebody that's not on the team. It's okay.
Yeah. Kuechly, Barr, Mosley, and
three
probably
more.
Breland and Johnson, and did I pick four linebackers? One, two,
no.
Three, four.
going to do some matchups
probably,
with the last spot.
It'll be a matchup probably.
Steve, if you were Scott, what would your lineup be? And Scott and Steve and Tom, if you guys could go as fast as you can on this question so we can get to the next one.
Yeah, no, I would. His offensive flex is fine. I would say his defensive linemen are two guys that aren't on the team yet. And his D-flex would be Barr, Barron, Kukli, Mosley, Breland, and Johnson, and just watch to see whether Ward has a good matchup. He might be able to take the place of either Breland or Johnson.
Tom?
Mine's Wilson, the four receivers, Walker, Linville Joseph, Sheldon Richardson, Anthony Barr, Mark Barron, Mosley, Kuechly, and then, yeah, the rest are sprinkles.
I'm going to forego my comments on the lineup to get to the next comment, which is, and Scott, you're going to sit this one out, please. Steve and Tom, do you think that this lineup is good enough to compete in the Red Division? Steve?
Yeah, sure is. I mean, it's a very good team. It's just he has the enviable position of being in the division that just scores a shit ton of points. And, a lot of points. And he just got to hope that each week he scores a little bit more than his opponent.
By 7 second delay. Tom, can this lineup compete?
Yeah, it can compete. It's just the top three teams usually in there are just beating each other up with another marauder coming in every once in a while and taking a chunk out of somebody, unfortunately, along the way. So that division is just a slap around division. Well, in the trade,
it absolutely can compete, and I wouldn't be surprised if it won the division. It is a strong, solid team. I mean, we pointed out how many areas where he was amongst the tops in the entire league. So here comes the big one. 5-point scale. What grade would you give to show me your TDs? Scott, what grade do you give yourself for off-season moves?
2.5.
Steve?
Yeah, I wouldn't be that critical. I would give him a 3.5. I thought he did everything really well except for I just didn't think he played his draft cards right.
I'm at three and a half.
I was going to go 3.5 as well on that. And again, it's not. We have to understand. I keep saying it. This is grading on a curve. This is a team that didn't need much improvement. Now you can argue that the area that needed the most improvement has not been improved, which is defensive line. But there's still some time left. So overall, I think this team is absolutely rock solid, and it took steps to improve itself on defense and to also lock up young talent for the future. So 3.5 from me. Any last comments, guys? Scott, would you have any last comments?
Not really. I like what was already said, you know, this division, they were just going to beat each other up, and we'll see who has the best luck.
Well, I'm sure I'm going to make sure I plant the seed in Dream Team that you considered him ruining your season last year. Start a little rivalry there. Tom, any last comments that you'd like to make generically about I personally was shocked